Good afternoon. Mondays and Wednesdays are physical therapy day. Thank God for every other day. So I'm very grateful for Thursday. I don't know why they call it physical therapy. They should call it physical torture. Somebody asked me afterwards how I felt. Did I feel any better? I said, no, but I confessed about 20 crimes. It helps, but my Lord. So good to have some friends I haven't seen in a little while. Good to have all of you. See, yesterday the Lord told me that was the best bunch ever been here. But then he said, this is the best bunch that's ever been here. He can't make up his mind. Or he thinks it's always the same. I think it's pretty crazy. It's been such a joy for me to be with my brothers from Kenya and from Uganda. It's been a fascinating thing to watch them eat. I didn't know human beings could eat that much food. And I think Bishop Kamari's eating because he's trying to be polite. The fatted calf, I told him. Well, Lord, thanks for the things that you want to say to us, that you want to speak into our lives. Lord, it's always truth and always brings freedom. Give us ears to hear. Amen. Well, again, we're just meandering through the Gospel of John. Not like a real Bible study. The Lord just told me a few weeks ago that he wanted me just to hang out, go through John, and he wanted to show me some things about God's love for us. And so not really theologically, just the way Jesus came to reveal the truth about God. No man has seen God at any time, and Jesus came to reveal the truth about him. And so just the way God revealed himself and how Jesus dealt with people, the things that he said to them, his attitude and disposition, is just a stunning revelation of the true nature of who God is. I mean, one of my favorite parts of John is towards the end, having done the whole Passion Week, he says, it's finished. And that phrase, it's finished, again, doesn't primarily mean a debt was paid. That evangelicals have a tendency to think that, because we think in terms of guilt all the time. But it's the word telestai, which meant, mainly the word meant perfect. That's the way it was used most of the time, completed or perfect. And at the cross, Jesus, having gone through all that he went through, when you saw him, saw his face, saw his body, you saw the Father. And Jesus said, perfect. All that we've done, all that we've said, all that we've healed, all that we've gone through on their behalf, perfect. That's at least one of the things that means, a perfect explanation of the nature of God's love for us. So we're just kind of meandering. We're in chapter 1, and Jesus is, his first six disciples are being chosen. A couple of them, the first two, chose him, Andrew and John, as on John the Baptist, the second day in a row, said, behold, the Lamb of God. A couple of them followed Jesus. And then one told their brother, Peter. And then I like this one a lot. This is verse 43. The next day, he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, follow me. And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. I love the way that works. Like, Jesus found Andrew. Andrew found his brother. Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael. That's the way it works. Like a person has not just an encounter, but an encounter that leaves a mark that changes a person, then you don't really have to teach them how to do evangelism. You'd have to imprison them to keep them from doing evangelism. From telling people about Jesus, what else are you going to talk about? But I love what it says in verse 45. Now, Philip found Nathanael, and Philip said, we found him. Well, the truth is, Jesus found Philip. The truth is, he finds us. It's always his grace moving in our direction, and it's just a response on our behalf. I'm old enough to remember the day the Campus Crusade campaign that led a lot of people to Christ. And what you would do is when they first started using CB radios, normal people did, not just truck drivers. Not that truck drivers aren't normal people, but... So you had this bumper sticker on the back of your car that said, I found it. And so people would like call you on your over your CB and they go, what did you find? And you tell them about Christ. And a zillion people got saved that way. But what the fun thing about that was is that they should have put on there, he found me. Because that's the truth. Jesus found Philip. And then Philip goes and finds Nathanael and said, we found him. but it's because he found Philip first. So here's the cool thing about God. Because people have this idea that because God's perfect and he's a grouchy old man with a spiritual billy club in his hand, he's pretty much standoffish. But the truth is, he's always in humility pursuing us. Jesus was the image of God's pursuit in our muck, in our stuff, in our junk. Jesus came, and it says in Romans 8:3, that he was found in the likeness of sinful flesh. It wasn't pristine flesh that Jesus clothed himself with. It was your flesh, my flesh, our broken flesh, though without sinning. But it was all the stuff. We say this a lot, but this blows me away about the love of God. God, who'd never known temptation, became human and was tempted in every way like unto us. See, one of the things that helps me a lot with that is in terms of walking in and joining Christ and his love for others. Like, I'll get texts from people, or I'll see something about some horrible thing or sad thing in terms of human behavior going on around us or some other place. And I always hear Jesus say, I understand. Not their fear, he understands that, but he even understands awful human behavior. Those who initiate it and those who respond to it in awful ways. Because he was tempted with all that. He came to clothe himself in human brokenness on purpose. That's not a God who's standoffish. That's a God who stepped into the muck and yuck of human brokenness so that he could heal us from the inside out. And so this word, like, this is one of the best phrases in the human language. This is like the most liberating thing. And he says, the next day, he purposed to go forth in the Galilee, and he found Philip. Now, what an expression of God's love. And said to him, follow me. That seems so simple, and it seems like so obvious, like, okay, well, you just like, Jesus is doing this, and you're like doing this. But the word follow me literally comes from a word that means join me, accompany me. There's a difference. So we've used examples before, so I'll just give some examples. Like, I was talking to the Lord one time about a person who I just couldn't get breakthrough with in terms of trying to fix something. There was a problem. I wasn't sure what happened, and I wasn't sure how to fix it. And so it was a struggle. And I finally came to a point one time and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, I'm just going to love that person more. How about you, Chuck? Well, he's my life. It's not like I get a vote. But he acts like we do. You see what I'm saying? If we're one with him, like one time he told me, well, I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. He said, well, I've already forgiven them. That was a couple thousand years ago. You're a little late coming around, Chuck, but would you like to join me in this? Because if you're going to experience me as your life, that's who I am. And the invitation is, though we're distinct, we're not separate. I'm your life, and therefore I'm inviting you to join me in the way I see, I feel, I think about this person. And I have the opportunity to surrender to that in childlike faith. And when that happens, that whole thing that's union becomes real and alive in me. I'm now feeling what he feels. I'm now seeing that person the way he sees that person. Not too long ago, I was in a circumstance that kind of was, I knew that it was a situation I was called to walk in, and I knew it was going to last a little while, but I didn't realize that when I said yes, and when Jesus said to me, I'm really excited about this situation. Now, of course, he knew the time schedule too, but about halfway into it, I realized that I said, Lord, something's not right in me. And he said, you said yes, but you didn't join me because I'm excited about this. I delight to do my Father's will, and you're not delighting in it at all. You're just enduring it, thinking that's good. That's not what follow me means. So it's not like he's doing this and we're here. I'm following him who's pushing from the inside, you see? And so I thought in the middle of it, I had the chance to repent. Because the word repent, you know, we hear this all the time, means to change your mind. It does not. It's two Greek words, think with. And of course, when you start thinking with him, you've changed the way you think. I thought, wow, I'm going to miss this. And if I don't repent now and join you, follow you, accompany you, this thing will be over with and I will have missed the whole thing you invited me into. So yes, Lord, I surrendered to not just doing this, But doing this the way you're doing it, I'm not going to do this for you. You're going to do this through me, but I've got to join you. I've got to accompany you. That's what follow me means. Amen? That's the love of God. What does that mean? I was thinking about Joseph last night, did an amazing job from Matthew 26. And when he was teaching it, there were some verses I read. I thought, wow, I just forgotten how strong those verses were. This is from Matthew 26. And I may do this on a Sunday morning. This is verse 57. And those who had seized him, make sure I got this right. Well, that's what I get for not bringing my Bible, the real Bible. So the temptation, watch and pray, was chapter 26 of Matthew, Joseph. 57. And those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were gathered together. And Peter was following him at a distance. No, that's not it either. What verse does it start at, Joseph? Your sermon. 36. Excuse me. See, here's the thing is, when I was younger, this used to bother me and embarrass me, but I'm 70 and I don't care. And by this afternoon, I won't remember that I messed this part up. Yeah, verse 36. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Wow, that's very human. And then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." That's really strong. "Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little bit beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men cannot keep watch with me for even an hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying repeatedly, the word is repeatedly saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, thy will be done." What is he talking about? When Jesus went away and he said, "Look, there's great distress, even to the point of death." That's a remarkable thing that Christ said. Deeply grieved to the point of death. Grieved and distressed. What was he grieving and distressing over? He was beginning to feel at a higher level man's fear, man's hatred, man's prejudice, man's anger, man's lust, man's greed, man's pride, man's insecurity, man's anxiety. On and on and on. All the things. He became sin. He became your sin. He became that sin that other people are doing that's bothering you. He became that sin. He became all that stuff. And he was beginning to feel that. And eventually he said, "Father, unless this, if this human brokenness cannot pass away, unless I drink it, because this has to pass away. Someone has to bear this. There's only one solution for mankind's brokenness. Death and resurrection. Someone has to bear this pain, this yuck, this awful stuff, this man's humanity against man, this selfishness, this self-centeredness. If the only way it can pass away is for me to drink it, then I'll drink it." And so when Jesus said to Philip, when he says to you, he said, "Follow me," Jesus is saying this, and then we'll stop. He's saying, "I followed you into your pain and your brokenness, and I bore it." And that old self, self-centered, sensitive, to the point of hurt feelings all the time, that person I crucified. I joined you to set you free to join me and experience my wholeness in every situation. I joined you in the person who gets offended all the time so that you can join me and never be offended again as long as you live, because Jesus doesn't get offended. I joined you in your fear and carried it to the cross and buried it so you could join me in a situation by situation. Accompany me and join me because I don't get afraid. I join you in your complaining and criticism so that you can join me and never complain or criticize again ever as long as you live. You can if you want to, but I've discovered something about sin. There is just no fun in it. I mean, like if somebody does something to me and I'm like miserable and I'm hurt and yada, 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 yada. Well, regardless of who did it, I'm not having much fun feeling like that, so why go there? There's no fun in it. I can join him and not go there. He joined me. He joined you so that you would join him. Joined you in your brokenness so he could say, follow me, join me in my wholeness. And be a new creation, a whole new self, a born again person. That's just amazing to me. That's the love of God. And for that to happen, he didn't just wave a wand out of heaven. He had to become human to clothe himself in my humanity so I could clothe myself in his divinity and experience his life being manifested through my personality. Stunning. Stunning. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.